I have a group of priests who I talk to regularly. We call it a cohort. And we're all priests in the Divine Renovation Network. And we're from all over North America. And our particular cohort has seven priests that's been meeting over Zoom for about a year now. And when the pandemic hit, we started to meet more frequently. And a few weeks back, I asked the guys about, you know, what are they doing for their upcoming like vacations during the summer? And to a man, not one of them, not one of us, because I was including myself in this, not one of us had thought about taking any time off until I brought it up. Like a lot of you, we've all been working like crazy all through this. And just like you, our vacation plans, you know, be they grand or modest, were completely upended months ago. Almost everyone's vacations have become staycations, if we're able to take any time off at all. Well, talking with my brother priests about this, and we're all going through the same thing, I realized I do need to take some time off. Luckily, Jean Ramey, our seminarian from France, who's been behind the scenes orchestrating the production of the live stream up until now, he really wanted to visit more than just Montreal during his time in Canada. I'm going to let Kevin, our seminarian who's in front of the camera, tell you a little bit about some of the time off we took a couple of weeks ago and offer a reflection on the readings today. Kevin?
Well, I guess the slide's been up for a couple of minutes now, so maybe you've guessed where we went. We had a lot of fun. We went to Ontario. Actually, we went to Niagara Falls. That was Jean Ramey, or JR, we call him. That was his dream, to come see Niagara Falls ever since he was a little kid. And so we went there on St. John the Baptist Day. So that would have been about a week ago. And it was a great trip. There weren't a lot of tourists. It was very quiet. And the hotel room was really, really cheap. Now, I don't work for Niagara Tourism. I don't even work for Ontario Tourism. I'm from Ontario and I love Ontario, but I don't work for them. But it was just nice to get a different scenery. It was just nice to be somewhere different in the world. I forgot to turn this on. Okay. But do you ever get the feeling when the trip is coming to an end that, you know, it's just time to come home? You really want to be home. You really want to be in your own kitchen or cooking. You want your own bed. There's some things from home that you just want. So there's something about that. Maybe on our way home we make a few less stops. Maybe the kids might be a little bit quieter or not, I don't know. But the trip home always seems to go by a little bit faster. So this time we've been living here as a church at St. Ignatius and as individuals has been far from a vacation. It's probably the farthest you can think of, the most polar opposite you can think of a vacation. A global pandemic, not a vacation. But I'm sure we can identify with that feeling, that sentiment of just wanting to come home, wanting to be home. Finally, after all of this time, after this period of confinement, we're slowly beginning here at St. Ignatius that process of being able to welcome you back through those doors that I'm pointing at right now. And actually, that starts tomorrow. Tomorrow, there's phases of the moon on the screen there. Tomorrow starts phase one re-entry into our church at St. Ignatius, July 6th. It's something worth celebrating. We'll be able to welcome you for private prayer and the sacrament of reconciliation for the first time in nearly 4 months. And that's something worth noting. it's something worth celebrating, even if it's a really, really small step. And there's actually excitement out there for that, for coming back to the church. I know it. I've witnessed it. Last week, some of us here on staff were filming a video about that phase one reentry that I just explained a little bit. And we had the doors open of the church. And someone from the street just walked in and sanitized his hands. And he was ready. He was ready to come to the church and just be in the presence of God. People are ready. Now, I know some might be expecting more. Some are wondering, when can we have Mass and worship together? And I know for a fact that we want nothing more than that. Nothing more than to be able to do that. But Father Mike said early on in March that this was not going to be some blizzard or some season that would just go away. It would be like an ice age, a slow thaw to being back to normal. And we look forward to that day. We're really excited for that day. And that sentiment, it's in the gospel. Jesus says in Luke's gospel, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. So yes, when we're able to celebrate Mass together, when we're able to worship publicly together, it will be great cause for celebration when we can gather for the Eucharist. But we can't overlook this first phase, this first step that we're embarking on right now. The return to our spiritual home after so much time away. We have a new opportunity to come to the church, even if it's for private prayer and for personal prayer, for the first time in months. Small step, but a very big step forward in the right direction. And that first reading today from the book of Zechariah gives us two reasons why I think this first step is something significant, something worthwhile to celebrate. The first is that being able to come to the church is part of our identity as Catholics. It's part of who we are. And there's something unique about being in a church building. We experience the presence of God in a way that we can't experience him elsewhere, either at home or in our car. We do experience him in those places, but in the church, it's something unique. It's something special. And being able to gather in any way in the church, in whatever small way, is significant. In that first reading from Zechariah, it speaks in a very timely way about a future restoration of the kingdom of Israel. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. There's joy, there's jubilation, there's excitement in these words that speak about the future. Now, this book in the Bible was written in a time when the Jewish people were being persecuted and attacked because of their land, the promised land. That land had been occupied by various different empires like the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Greeks. And the reason that land was so coveted was because that promised land was very fertile. It was part of the Fertile Crescent, they call it, in that part of the world. Very luscious grounds, lots of fruit, lots of abundance. And that land God gave to his people, to the people of Israel. But there was something more than just nice crops about this promised land for the Jewish people. It was their home. It was the land God gave them. And that's where the temple was. And to take that land away, that means taking away their place of worship. It meant that there was something missing in their lives. It meant that they felt distant from God. They couldn't be themselves. And maybe you feel this way in this season too. Maybe you feel that there's something missing. There's been something missing in your life for the past 4 months. Above some of the things that we like doing, like going to restaurants, shopping, haircuts, I got a haircut. And simple things like being with family and friends. What about church? Is there something missing in your life, not being able to come to your church? Early on in the pandemic, when we first started live streaming Mass, and that was actually on March 22nd, Laetare Sunday in Lent. That was the first time we live streamed Mass on a Sunday. During that time, I had received an email from a parishioner here at St. Ignatius who said how grateful she was and how it put her to tears to just being able to view the Mass on YouTube, the Mass from her church, the Mass from her parish, from her spiritual home. Isn't that beautiful? Whether we are aware of it or not, there's something about our church building that unites us as a community. There's great joy and jubilation in being able to gather into our spiritual home, to being together. And the second reason I think this first step of reopening is worth celebrating, and it's momentous, and it's important, it's because it's a small victory. It's a small victory that gives us hope. The very next part of that verse 9 in the book of the prophet Zechariah speaks of how this king will first appear to us in the kingdom. That verse says, "Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." That image in our heads of a donkey riding on a donkey, on a colt. Does that seem familiar to you? This is what we read about Jesus on Palm Sunday as he entered Jerusalem. This is from Mark's gospel. "Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This seemingly insignificant step or small detail of Jesus entering Jerusalem, riding humbly on a donkey into Jerusalem, is a victory for God. Yes, it is the first of the events in Jerusalem that led to what would happen later on that week, the most important week that we call Holy Week. Later that week, Jesus would take on our sins. I forgot a page. Wait a minute. There we go. Would take on our sins. He would suffer his passion and his death on the cross, so that we might receive the forgiveness of sins and be able to have a relationship with God and be able to live for eternity, in eternity, with God. That is what true hope is, being grounded in the events of the past. Grounded in those small events, we can look forward to what that means, what that event means for our future. And we can look to the reopening of the doors of our church in the same way. It's hope in action. It's a small victory. It's a small step. But it's a humble step forward. So whenever you are ready, we are excited to welcome you back. We want to see you. Even if it's behind a mask, we'll make eye contact. We've missed you. We want you to know that St. Ignatius is your spiritual home. It's a place where we can be united together as a people of God, find God, and find hope in the midst of all this turmoil, in the midst of this pandemic. And that allows us to look forward to that day when we can actually worship together at the Eucharist, at Mass. When that day comes, we can say that we actually got through this together during this scary time for our community. It's a moment that we can remember, that gives us hope for future restoration. Just like what the prophet Zechariah foretold many, many hundreds of years ago and tells us today.
Thanks, Kevin. Yesterday, I went to my mother's house to drop something off for her, and we chatted a bit, and as I was about to leave, she said, "Oh, bye, see you tomorrow." And I turned and looked back, "Tomorrow?" She, "Oh, yeah, well, I'll see you anyway tomorrow." "Hi, Mom. I don't get to see you. You see me, you see Kevin and Deacon Marco, but I haven't been able to see you throughout this time." And as I listened to Kevin talk a little bit about, you know, vacations, I thought of that French expression, "J'ai mon voyage." I've had my vacation is what it literally means, but it means I've had enough. Well, j'ai mon voyage of this closed doors thing. I think of Jesus in the gospel telling me, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Maybe Jesus is telling you that as well. I hope that as we open our church doors tomorrow for personal prayer, as we move closer to being able to welcome you back to Mass, I hope that our church can be a place where you find rest. That place where you can bring your weariness and your burdens to Jesus. Jesus goes on to say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls." However, you need to, as we ease out of confinement, we all need to find rest. We all need to find rest for our souls. I can think of no better way than coming to Jesus.